Welcome, everybody. On this week's show, we're talking about God looks at your heart. We know that God knows the hearts of all men and women, but what about the hearts of those relationships and our ministry? You know, a heart can be good or bad. Do we know which one do we have? We'll take a further look at that on our breakdown. This is the Terms of Surrender. Let's go.
You're listening to the Terms of Your Surrender, a show that focuses on empowering, encouraging, and edifying people to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. Micah 6:8. And now, here's your host, Quentin Green.
Welcome back. This is the Terms of Your Surrender podcast. I am your host, Quentin Green. Once again, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you are here with me. This is the day that the Lord has made, so we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I pray that all has been well with you in your health and your wealth. We just pray that the Lord has spoken a blessing or shown a blessing to you in all aspects of your life and your family's life also. But this week, we're going to talk about God looks at your heart. We're going to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, the first verses 1 through 14. There are a lot of people that hear that, you know, God looks at your heart, God knows your heart, but do we truly have a heart after the Lord? You know, will we be considered men and women that are after God's own heart? We'll take a look at that, and also, what about the people that are around us? People in our relationships, our job, our ministry, when we have positions that are open or people we want to be with, do they really fit? Do they really have the qualifications to be in those positions? You know, they may look good, they may, you know, think we have this because of their background, but do they truly have the heart for that position? So we really want to take a look at that, because those things are important. Remember, every decision we make affects, there's a soul attached to it. And we normally forget that our soul is attached to that also. And so we don't want to have people who are place sitters. You know, we don't have the people that are hindrances to us and that are hindrances to the will of God. So this is why it's so important for us to look at people, not at their appearances, but look at, do they truly have what we need? Will they be beneficial to us? Will they be profitable to us? Not in a way that we're using them, but in a way that God can get a return on his investment. Will they help us achieve the glory that God is looking for? Will they help us fulfill our will, God's will on earth, our assignments, our calling that we have to do? Will they help us in our families? Will they help us in our ministry? Will they help us on the job? You know, things of that nature. And so we're going to take a look at that in our lesson breakdown coming up. Once again, this is the Terms of Your Surrender. I pray everything is well with you. And it's time for the breakdown, so don't go anywhere. Stay here. We're going to get into it right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Sorry for the delay. Starting a little bit later than usual, but wife had some surgery today, some knee surgery, minor, but she's safe. Got her back settled in, so she's resting up. But, you know, God is good, so no complications, no anything like that. And so, you know, we're just thankful for the Lord that we're able to get that done. And so, let us pray. Let's get into our lesson, and then we'll get into our discussion about it. All right, let us pray. Wise and eternal God, we thank you once again for allowing us to be back into your house one more time. We thank you for our life, health, and strength, Father. We thank you for protecting us from danger, seen and unseen. And Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for any sins that we committed. Lord, we ask that you would decrease us, increase you, so that we may live better, walk better, talk better, serve better, witness better than we ever had before. Bless those who are here, those that desire to be here and couldn't, those who will be watching, and those who will be listening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this week we're talking about God looks at your heart. Lesson text is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 16. Normally we're going through verses 4 through 14, but we're going to start at verse 1 because we don't want to leave anything out. But our central verse is going to come from 1 Samuel 16:7, which reads, But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that's 1 Samuel 16:7. And so, you know, a lot of times we hear, I've heard in service, or you might hear from other people, when people are may not be doing exactly what the Lord wants them to do. They may not be living in a way that's pleasing, or, you know, they're just living life as they know. You know, people say, well, God knows your heart. Usually we say that about people who have good intentions, but may not know how to live those good intentions out. And that's a true statement, that God does know your heart. But the thing is, what about your heart that the Lord knows, is it good or bad for you? Because your heart can either speak for you, or it can condemn you, based on what your heart is, or what is in your heart. Because we know that scripture tells us that Jesus knew that what was in the heart of men. And so you can't lie to the Lord, because he made us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows how we feel. He knows how we think about things. And so by that knowledge, the Lord is looking for someone who has a heart towards him. You know, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you never sin. You never do anything wrong. Having a heart toward the Lord is that you are someone who loves the Lord, that you are chasing after him, that you are trying your best to please him. Even though you may do some wrong things, it doesn't mean, because once again, we're not perfect. You know, there was only one perfect person that walked this earth, and that was Jesus. But that we are trying our best day after day to walk in a way that is pleasing and upright to the Lord. So in our scripture tonight, we talk about a man who's known, who's familiar to everybody. That's David. The Lord said that David was a man after God's own heart. But if you know anything about David, the man that was after God's own heart slept with another man's wife, tried to pin the baby when she was pregnant on this man, but when he wouldn't sleep with him, he had the man killed. So you may say, well, how can that man be someone after God's own heart after all the stuff he's done? Well, God doesn't hold us accountable. He holds us accountable, but he doesn't hold it against us for the things we've done if we're going to repent and be sorrowful for them. But David was a man that he was out to please the Lord, but as a lot of us are, he allowed his desires, he got wrapped up in his desires, and he allowed that to govern his decisions. That's no different than me, you, or anybody else. We've all had an experience where we have allowed what we desire to take place over what the Lord would have us to do. Hence the Garden of Eden. The only reason they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they allowed the desire to be just like God, to take the place of what God said. God said that if they ate from the tree, that day that they would surely die. But they allowed outside forces, namely the serpent, to... Eve allowed that serpent to convince her that, oh, you're not going to die. You're just going to be just like God. And Adam was not off the hook, because Adam was close by listening. So instead of him stepping in and saying, no, 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 we're not going to do it, he had that same desire too. It was tempting. She ate. She gave him peace. He ate. And here we are now. Instead of being in paradise, you know, naked, not knowing what naked is, just living life, here we are clothed, going through all these trials and tribulations. So that's kind of how things happen. But tonight we want to talk about God looks at your heart. We want to understand about, take a closer look at what that heart, take a closer look also at what the statement that he made in 16:7, that he says, I don't see how man sees. So we'll break that down also. And so let's get into our discussion. Reading from 1 Samuel 16, starting at verse 1. Well, let me give some backstory before we do how we got to this point. The children of Israel wanted a king because they wanted to be like everybody else. And so God is talking to Samuel, who's the prophet at this time, and he's saying, well, they haven't refused you. They refused me. Because Samuel was giving them direction, but Samuel didn't have, he was getting older. He didn't have any heirs. And so they said, we want a king. God told them, okay, you can have a king, but this is what the king will do. And just like many people, they ignored the warnings about the bad stuff that the king would do. And they said, well, we don't care. We want a king. They said, okay, we'll give the people what they want. So just be careful about things you ask for, because God will give you the desires of your heart, but he'll also send leanness to your soul. And so sometimes the things you desire may be the very thing that causes you the most headaches in your life. And they found that out about King Saul, because Saul, you know, was a man. He was a beautiful man. He was taller than everybody else. He had the stature. He had the looks. But understand that people who have the looks may not have what they need to actually be in that position. And so we'll get to that later. And so after he was given direction in chapter 15 to go against, was Agag. Let me make sure I got that right. And he was supposed to go Amalek. Sorry. He went to Amalek, and the Lord told him to destroy all that they have. And that's in 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. All that they have, do not spare them. Both kill men, women, infant, and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So he was supposed to go and wipe everybody out. Now, many people may say, well, what kind of God would send a man to wipe all these people out if he loves everybody? Well, the thing about God is God knows things that we don't. So we don't know what those men and women had did. We don't know what they put them children through. You don't know what those children may have grown up to become. So but the oxes and the donkeys, we don't know what purpose were they sacrificed for, or what were they given for or used for. And more likely, they weren't used to glorify God. They were used to glorify their gods and do other sinful things. And so God said, well, you know what? Wipe out all of them. That's not the only time God says that. Because even when the children of Israel going to the promised land, God had given them just instructions to wipe out the inhabitants of the land because of the foul things that they'd done. And he called this the land spewing them out. And so they did that. And there's an instance where they got lied to and didn't do what they were supposed to do. But, you know, we'll cover that another time. But in this, so Saul doesn't do this. Now, Saul has done this on multiple occasions where he tried to throw incense in the temple when he wasn't supposed to. And now he decides, instead of killing all the sheep and the oxen and the donkeys, he decides to keep them and try to give them to the Lord. And the Lord is talking to Samuel, and he says, you know what, he hasn't done what I asked him to do. So Samuel goes down, talks to him, and says, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I did everything the Lord was supposed to told me to do. He said, well, if that's the case, why I see all these sheep and donkeys and stuff around? And not only that, King Amalek was still alive too. And so he comes and he tells him that this day that the Lord is going to take the kingdom from him. And he tells him also that the Lord has chosen a new person, that he's not going to relent, and that Israel wasn't going to relent also. So he tells him in 17, he says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel, and did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Verse 18, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And so, and then, you know, and Samuel tries to blame, you know, the people. And so, this is where we get the saying in verse 22 that says, obedience is better than sacrifice. If you don't have that marked down in your Bible or in your heart, we need to put that down. Because doing what you're supposed to do is always better than having to pay a price later on. And so, in verse 28, that's what Samuel tells him, that the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also, the strength of Israel will not relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. And so, this is talking about the Lord. So, he's giving it to somebody else, and he's not going to change his mind. So, the one thing we don't want to happen, we don't want the Lord to take away from us and take away from us what he's given us, because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Because when God said it, it's final. He said, I'm taking it away and I'm giving it to somebody better than you. So we don't want to be in the situation where the God is giving things to somebody better than us because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. So that's why obedience is better than sacrifice. It's better to obey what the Lord has given us to do rather than go off on our own thing. And so we'll skip forward to 16. Now, and starting at verse 1. So, let me not lead this out too. So, Saul, at this point, Saul is still mourning because at this, Samuel's still mourning because at this point, mm-hmm. he knows that he's never going to see Saul again because he has no reason to go to because the Lord has taken the kingdom away from him. And, you know, the Lord's going to take, you know, all his spirit away from him also, which we're going to see, which you'll see later on in this chapter. And so, Samuel loves Saul. And so, we get like that when people do things and we're going to be separated from them. And we, you know, we love them with our heart and we truly care for them. And then there's always a separation. And that's the thing about being disobedient. It's always a separation of some kind involved in it. And so, starting in verse 1, where the Lord, now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." Now, at this point, God's moving on. You know, how long are you going to mourn? Well, you know, I got work for you to do. I'm done with it. I'm past it. And he wants us to get past it and move on, too. So understand, a lot of people get held up because they're still mourning over people. And they're still focusing on that. But the Lord wants us to keep pressing forward and keep going forward because there's work to be done. Now, that may sound insensitive. I understand, you know, we have people that we lost and people we, you know, hope would be here and they wouldn't. And they're still not, but, you know, understand, we got to keep moving forward. I know it hurts, but when the Lord has a job for you to do, you got to keep moving forward. And so, verse 2, "And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" So, you know, Samuel knows the kind of person that Saul is. And so the Lord always said, understand, the thing about the Lord that you serve, he has everything planned out before you even know about it. Before the situation even comes out, he already has a way worked out. So that's something that we need to get inside of us, that when we're wondering what we're going to do, the way's already been made. The foundation's already been laid. We serve a God who sees the end from the beginning. And so any problems that you come up with, the Lord already has a strategy for you to get out of it and to keep you safe in the process. So that's the kind of God that we serve. Understand that God is the most strategic person, most strategic deity you're going to ever meet. Well, I say person, I say, you know, he's deity also. But there's nobody who thinks like God. There's nobody who works out things like God. And that's why we're thankful that the Lord is on our side, because who knows what's best for us? Seeing things before we even get to them. And that's the confidence that we can take in the Lord. And so, verse 3. "They invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one that I name you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he says, "Yes." He says, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that they looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Now, Samuel does something that a lot of us do. He looked at the outward appearance of Eliab. He looked apart, so he figured this was the man that God was going to choose. The thing that gets us in trouble is because we chase after people that look the part, but we don't chase after people that actually have the heart for the part. So this is why the Lord says, "I don't see things as man sees. I don't look at the outward appearance, I look at the heart." So let's talk about the word "see." Because I was looking at this word, and I saw, you know, it has different definitions depending on what you're using it for. So looking at the Merriam-Webster dictionary, from the descriptions for "see" is to perceive by the eye, to perceive or direct or detect as if by sight, to be aware of, to imagine as a possibility, to form a mental picture, to perceive the meaning or importance of, to come to know, to be the setting or time of, to have experience of, to examine, to read, to attend as a spectator, to make sure, to take care of, to find acceptable or attractive, to regard as, thus to judge, to visit, to keep company with, especially in courtship or dating, or to grant an interview, to accompany, to call. And so that we may talk about that later, about exactly seeing things how God sees them. But in this purpose, God sees in a way that we don't see people. We don't see situations. We don't see opportunities. We're looking at things in a negative light. We look at things in a worldly view. But understand that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. So where we see trouble or struggle, God sees opportunity. And that's the way the Lord wants us to look at these situations. That's the way he wants us to look at people. It's not bad. It's good. That's why there's a different mindset, especially what's going on right now when mm-hmm. businesses are shut down and, you know, opportunities are scarce and we're not able to maybe gather in a way that you would like to, where people are being taking more precaution about things that are happening. And you can look at it as doom and gloom, or you can look at it as a new beginning, as a way to improve what we've already had. Now, we've talked about that over lessons before, but just look at the situation where people are realizing that they may have to find another source of income instead of depending on what they have now. You know, people are starting new businesses, new ideas are happening, your focus is changing. People are paying more attention to the Lord than they were at one time before. So it's all about how you see your circumstances that will determine if you're looking at it the right way. Now, for some of us, it takes longer than others, because we can go through this and you can look at the news and you can see the number of COVID cases rising. You can see this happening and that happening. We can look at our nation in the White House or wherever else and see what they're doing and the things that make sense and things that don't make sense. Or you can look at this as, hey, this is an opportunity that God has given me, but I got to know what this opportunity is. That's where it's an opportunity for us to go seek God and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? I'm not paying attention to what's not happening. I need to know what I need to make happen and what have you opened the door for. And so, with going on with this lesson, a lot of times this is opportunities, but this is also an opportunity for others to notice people they weren't paying attention to before. Because what we notice out of this lesson is that, I'm getting ahead of myself. We say, he looks at the man, he doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And like we said earlier, there are a lot of people that we look at, they look good, they look like they know what's going on, or we look at them because they may have this degree or they have this knowledge and this background, and we want them in certain positions, but they don't have the heart to do it. Meaning they are not in it for the right reasons. When they get in this job, they don't have the integrity, they don't have the trust, they don't have the love, they don't have the feelings or the care to actually excel in the position you're trying to put them in. Now, that may happen if you just think about, we'll go to relationships. How many people are crying or sad over people that looked the part, but they did not have a heart towards you? How many people that you knew and you saw the signs of, they weren't there, they weren't dependable, they're not this, they're not that, but you still try to keep this person around because you wanted what you want? This is what happened with, we talked about earlier, with King Saul. The Lord told them, this man is going to do things to you and your children that you are not going to like. And they ignored it because they wanted what they wanted. There are people right now who are in these round and round relationships, whether it's personal or business or whatever, with people who are there because they like the way they look, they like the way they make them feel, but they do not have a heart towards them. That means they don't care about them. They're not there to take care of them. They're not beneficial to them. They're more of a liability than an asset. But people want what they want. It's the same thing like now. People are going out. People are putting themselves in danger because they don't want their comfort interrupted. They want what they want. They don't care what danger it costs. They don't care what it does to the health or the health of other people, as long as they get what they want. But then when it goes wrong, then all of a sudden they want to take precaution. And now you see them, they're this way, they're that way, they're sad, they're frustrated, but you knew this already. So there's all the warning always comes before destruction. So like I said, the Lord warned them about this person. And I believe the Lord has given a lot of y'all some warning about some people too, but y'all still wanted them around. But then when it goes bad, now here we are, we boo-hooing and we're not eating and we're not doing this, that, and the third. So pay attention to the warnings. Pay attention to the red flags. You may want them. I know they look good. They may have the body you want, and they may make you do all kind of stuff you ain't thought you were going to do before. Some of y'all may be so much in heat that you like the way they heat you up, but is it worth your peace of mind? Is it worth you crying and doing all this and third because they keep doing wrong, and you know they you're not supposed to be with them? You know they're not there for the right reason. So this is something that you gotta, you know, I'm not telling you what to do, but it's something you gotta take a look at. Or even in our ministries, there are people who get put in positions because of what they do or what people perceive them to do or what they like about them, but they don't have the heart to serve. And so, you know, there are a lot of ministries that pray for people, you know, the Lord to send them someone to fill this position and fill that position. And just me personally, I think that a lot of people have that person in their congregation right now, but they don't like the way they look and they don't like the way that they perceive them, so they don't choose them. There are other people who have prayed to the Lord and asked them, and the Lord has given them a name for somebody. But because they don't like that person, they don't like the fact that maybe they don't pay tithes, maybe they don't come to Sunday school all the time, maybe they don't do this, that, or third, that they are reluctant to put them in this position. But like we said before, God knows what you don't. He's not looking at appearance, he's looking at hearts. So we need to start looking at hearts also. So even though we look at them and say, well, I don't know about this person, I don't think they're going to be, God knows best. God, who's running the church? Jesus runs the church. So shouldn't he put in place who he wants in place? Because what you're going to find out about a lot of people is those who you overlook are going to be some of the best person for that position. And in a lot of cases, they may be the best person you ever had in that position. So we have to get into this point where we're overlooking people based on what we want, based on our biases or our insecurities or whatever it is. That we got to take that out of the way and say, well, Lord, if you want this person here, well, Father, you know best. Lord, this is your church. You run it. If you want this person here, you know, apparently you know something I don't. So I'm going to put them here. And when they get there, not only are they going to have the ability to do it, the Lord's going to give them the grace to do it also. And so that's where we have to get ourselves out of the way and submit to the word and the will and the desires of God. So that way he can have his will done without us wanting our will done instead. And so just keep that in mind. So like I said, I'm not telling you what to do. But when you're making decisions about people, you better find somebody that wants your heart, that has a heart towards you first. Really, you better find somebody that has a heart towards God first. Because if they don't have a heart towards God, then how are they going to have a heart towards you? Have a heart towards what you're trying to do. You know, our pastor says all the time, it says, if you're looking for somebody, you better make sure they love the Lord. Because if they don't love the Lord, they can't love you. So that's what you want first. The Lord can give you your desires of your heart. He can give you people that they may have this body, they may not. They may have money, they may have not. But you need to be looking at hearts first. Money can come. Instead of looking for somebody who may have the money already, because most people who got money already, they're going to make decisions based on the money. But if you find somebody that loves you, that loves the Lord and loves you, even when the money comes, they're not going to act different because they loved you first and you were there first. And so for a lot of people, if you were there from the bottom and we get here now, when you were here when I didn't have nothing, then guess what? When the time comes, when the money rolls in, you get everything. If you put somebody here who you didn't have confidence in first, but the Lord told you to put them there, you get to see them grow and you get to see how they're impactful to your ministry in the kingdom of God. And then you say, well, Lord, I never thought this person would do this, but you knew something I didn't. You always know stuff I don't. So that's why I need to submit to your will and to your ways. And so, starting at verse 8. So now we say, we know that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So verse 8. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither had the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass and said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. So everybody who looked apart, everybody we thought about has been passing before Samuel, and the Lord ain't said nothing about nobody. So, verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. This is one thing you can take pleasure in if you're being overlooked. There are not only people who are on jobs or in ministries that will overlook you, there are people in your own family that will overlook you also. But that's the great thing about God, because even though people overlook you, he's just waiting on the right opportunity to bring you out. So Jesse was told to bring his sons. Jesse brought all the sons that he thought looked the part. Didn't bring the youngest one, because a lot of us and a lot of people are like this, a lot of especially Christians also. They think that the youth, that those who are younger than them, are not going to be beneficial to what's going on at any given time. They want to limit them. They want to put handcuffs and restraints on them. And the Lord is using these kids. So it doesn't matter how young you are. Even Paul told Timothy, he said, don't let anybody discount you because of your youth. You have as much knowledge as anybody else does. The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So, it doesn't matter how young you are. If the Lord wants to use you, he'll use you. The Spirit of God can fit just as it does in a grown person. The Spirit of God can rest in a young person also. So, like I said, we don't know the call that God has on people's lives. And just because you don't have to be a certain age before you to hit that calling. Some people already know their calling now. It doesn't matter. God's not about age. He's not about time. He's not about whether your stature or anything else like that. It's about timing. It's about the will of God. Now, like I said, Jesse has brought all his sons, but didn't bring the youngest. But then we have scripture that says the last will be first. And so just understand that with your kids, we don't put limits on your kids. We don't know how the Lord's going to use them. We don't know when he wants to use them. He may get a hold of them later in life, may get a hold of them early in life. But we need to make ourselves open-minded, not closed-minded, to when the Lord has made a demand on us to bring our kids forth, that we bring everybody, because everybody's equal. Everybody's included. The Lord's not trying to leave anybody out. So we shouldn't be leaving anybody out also. And so, so he says, send him and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. Once again, until we are obedient to what the Lord asks us to do, there's no way we can sit down and eat. There's no way we can go further. We're going to stop right here until we fulfill the obedience of God. A lot of people right now are stuck in a rut because they have not done what the Lord has asked them to do. And if you have forgotten or you don't remember, you go back in prayer, ask the Lord, well, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And he will bring it back to your remembrance. Until those things are done, you're not going to go forth in what the Lord has you to do. So it's not based on economy. It's not based on any of this other stuff. If you have been given direction from the Lord, you're going to stay right in that position you are until you do it. So I encourage you to do it. So that way you got work to be, there's work to be done. You have things you need to do, not only for yourself, but for other people. So we need to get those things done. Don't be the holdup in your own future, in your own destiny, in your own happiness, or your own happiness, your own profitability, because you refuse to do what you were told to do. And so, verse 12. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. So it means ruddy means reddish or red hair. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Now these are situations where, David was also a good looking guy also. Now, everybody may not be good looking, but this just happens to be a situation where David was. So, like I said, don't get caught up in appearances. Just get caught up in the heart. So, then Samuel took, in verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and the distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. So, the youngest person out of the whole group was the one that the Lord chose. So, though the one that was overlooked, the one that wasn't even considered, is the one that the Lord chose. Well, that we should be rejoicing about that, because we've been overlooked and not considered by a lot of people, but yet and still the Lord has chosen us for such a time as this to carry on his message. He used us to get his glory. He used us to have impact on the lives of those around us. And like I said, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing. That when the Lord has put something in you, when the Lord wants to use you, he's going to bring you to the forefront. No matter how many people try to hide you, no matter how many people try to discourage you, the Lord will bring you out if you trust him. That's the kind of Lord that we serve. You're overlooked. The ones that are overlooked is the one that Jesus went to first. He said it's the sick. He said the sick need a physician, not the healed, not the well. So those who, you know, you're overlooked, you're down, you know, you know, we keep saying overlook because that's kind of what it is. You know, no, you're not considered. You're not on anybody's top 10, top 5, or whatever. But yet still, the Lord uses those people to carry out his will. Because one, they have a heart towards him. Or even if you don't have one now, doesn't mean that one can't be developed in you. Because a heart toward the Lord has to be developed. Other stuff can be taught. You know, people don't pay tithes, that can be taught. Don't come to Sunday school, you can teach the importance of it. But a heart after God has to be developed. And there are a lot of people who don't miss a service, don't miss tithes, don't miss anything, and they are their hearts are the farthest thing away from the Lord. That's why Jesus said, these people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, same thing that said that prophet Isaiah said. Because they come in here, they give praise, they do all this other stuff. The church doors are open, they're here. But they're, as far as them being close to the Lord, they're the furthest thing from them. So don't look at that. We're looking at people with a heart towards the Lord. And the Lord knows it. And he'll let you know who has a heart toward them also. And so, just understand that the Lord knows your heart. Yes, he knows your heart. You know your heart also. You know whether it's good or whether it's bad. So, does your heart speak well of you or does it speak against you? So, if you don't, we have to spend more time with the Lord. Those are things that we have to work on. And the great thing about the God that we serve is that he gives us opportunities day after day to work on it. Every breath you take is an opportunity for you to work, to repent, to develop in you to where you say, Lord, creating me, put in me a clean heart so that now I may serve you. If that is your desire, then guess what? He will place a clean heart in you. He will clean all that stuff out. He'll show you what you need to work on. He'll show you what he wants you to do. And not only that, you know, you'll be able to impact other people also, not just in words, but in deeds and actions also. Because the thing we know about David, when you go on to read that, while David was being overlooked, David had a relationship with the Lord. David was in the fields writing poetry. David was in the fields when watching the sheep, when the bear and the lion came, and the Lord was with him when he was able to take down this bear. To where he grabbed the lion by the beard underneath the chin and struck him down. You know, most of us know David, who is most famous for, is taking down Goliath. But it was the times where he was being overlooked, when he wasn't being paid attention to, that he found out who the Lord really was, where he really developed that relationship, to where he knew that the Lord was on his side, because if he didn't take down the bear and the lion, he wouldn't have been in a position to take down Goliath. So that's why when you're in these times where you seem like you want to do so much and people are not giving you the opportunity and they're not paying attention to you, those are the times that you need to be close to the Lord. Those are the times where we really need to develop that relationship to make it strong as we possibly can, because the Lord is with us. Because when the time comes for you to come out, oh, the Lord's not going to leave any doubt that he's with you. One thing I can tell you about the Lord, if you don't know anything, if you don't get anything else from this lesson, get this. The Lord ain't about keeping your relationship with him a secret. You can find plenty of times in the Bible where it says, he so-and-so was with the Lord, and the Lord was with him, and the Lord let everybody around him know that he was with him. Especially Joseph. When Joseph got thrown into and was taken into slavery, when he was thrown in prison, he said, Joseph was with the Lord. The Lord was with Joseph. And the people around Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. So you ain't no side thing. The Lord wants you, is main, you are main. Ain't, I ain't gonna say main because it seems like you got other ones. But you are a focal point. You are of importance to the Lord. And he ain't trying to, like I said, he ain't trying to keep you no secret. He ain't trying to hide you under other names or nothing like that. The Lord's with you, he's gonna let people know he is with you. That's one thing you can count on. The Lord ain't trying to hide your relationship, and he don't want you to hide yours with him either. Now, there may be certain times you may, you know, you may not have to say anything, but there's a certain situations. But if you are with the Lord's with you. And the people around you will know it also because they'll see the favor on you. But just to close up, God knows your heart. God's looking for people with a heart towards him. If you don't have a heart now, does not mean that you will never have a heart towards them. But once again, we encourage you today to take these opportunities instead of complaining about what's going on or getting focused on what's going on, to get closer to the Lord. Because famines never stopped the Lord from doing anything. Sometimes he does his best. The Lord does his best work when it looks like everything's going wrong around us. Because that's the kind of God that he is. He wants to make it, he'll do things to where you can't doubt it was him. To where there's no other way, there's nothing else that's coming. We don't know how we're going to get out of this. And the Lord will make a way to let you know that he's with you, to let you know that he's there. And God wants to do those things in your life. He wants to show you exactly the loving Father that he is. But he's also looking for someone who has heart enough to love him the same. So will that be you? You know, if not, we're going to have to make, if not, if you're not in that place, rejoice, because guess what? We can go to the Father, asking him to forgive us, to create in us a clean heart, to show me, Lord, teach me how to serve you. Teach me how to be a better servant, to be a better witness, to be a better ambassador for you. And the Lord will do it, because the Lord answers prayers. And so we thank you for being here. We thank you for the lesson. Thank you for all those who were able to watch, for those who were here. Share this with anyone you come across. You know, like I said, the Lord's not just trying to give you anything. He's trying to give you the best. And what the best considered, is what the Lord considers the best, those who love him, those who serve him, those who witness to him. Mm-hmm. Because those are the people he wants to put in your life, because you have work that you need to do also. And the one thing is, it's hard enough to serve God. How much harder would it be if you got people around you who don't serve him? How much harder are they going to make things? It's hard enough to have a relationship. You know, if the heavens opened up and the Lord put somebody down in your lap and said, I created this person just for you, you're still going to have problems. So imagine how many problems you'll have if they're not the right person. So let's not get in point trying to make square peg fit into a round hole. If they don't fit the part at this time, doesn't mean they may never, but at this point, we can't be there. If they want to change, fine. If not, they're just holding a spot for somebody who the Lord wants to be there, who will love you and cherish you. If they don't, because understand, it's easier to put a person into a position than it is to get them out. So that's why we need to make sure that we're thorough and that we're sure that this person is who the Lord sent, not who you want, who the Lord sent to fill that role. I'll leave you with the story and then we'll close. I read a little posting about last year about a woman that says, I married somebody I wasn't attracted to. Now, for most of us, that'll be in the conversation right there, because if we ain't attracted to him, ain't no point discussing nothing. But she had a desire for a guy. She wanted him to be tall. She wanted him to be light-skinned, athletic. She wanted him to be a preacher. But the Lord put somebody in her life. He introduced someone to her life who he wasn't tall. He wasn't light-skinned. He wasn't really athletic build. He wasn't a preacher. But the main thing is, he loved God. And he also loved her. So they became friends. You know, they would talk, they would go out. And you know, even though she wasn't really feeling his appearance, they still went out. And, you know, one day she called her one of her friends. She was like, she was going to break it off with him. So she calls him. They meet up. And she goes up, meet up with him to break him off with him. But when she starts to, she starts crying because she says, I want to do this, but I don't want to lose you. And so he said, well, I understand this is hard for you. So you take some time, get your thoughts, get your stuff together, and then we'll come back and we'll revisit this later. So she doesn't. So she goes, makes a decision that she decides to stay. So they end up getting married. So, and now she said it was one of the best things she's ever done because she falls more and more in love with him every day. See, she wasn't attracted to the outside, but she got attracted to the person on the inside. And so one thing you have to understand about people is if they may not look all that on the outside, but once you love, if they're beautiful on the inside, it's going to come out. Because beauty doesn't stay hidden for long. Because if they're beautiful on the inside, that beauty is going to come to the outside. So that way, guess what? Appearance doesn't matter too much anymore because you fell in love with the person, not the shell that they're in. You fall in love with the person, not what they have. Are we getting through to somebody? That's why I say looking at the heart. God knows hearts. God knows what you need. God is interested in meeting needs. He'll meet your wants, but he's about needs first. And so she says, you know, she loves him more and more. She loves his appearance. So, you know, those things happen. If you fall in love with the person, you fall in love with the heart first, not the shell. This will get old. All this gonna get old. If you don't think so, go look at some pictures you had 10 years ago and go look at yourself in the mirror now and tell me it didn't change. I guarantee it changed. It changes for everybody. If you gotta have product to keep it black, it changed. So that it's just where it's just what it is. So say beauty skin deep. So you better start peeling back layers on these people to find out how beautiful they really are. So don't get caught up in appearance. Don't get caught up in what people have and they don't have. It's the heart that matters. That's what the Lord says, I don't see how man sees. You look at appearance. I look at the heart. Because I know the heart they have. I know the heart of the person that you need. Once again, you're here for a purpose. You're here because you say, the way you pray to the Lord, you should ask the Lord, say, Lord, you know me. You know what I need. You know the work I'm here to do. I don't even know all the details of it, but Lord, you do. I need someone here who's going to help me accomplish what you have me to do. To accomplish these goals, I don't need a speed bump. I don't need any hurdles. I don't need anybody who's going to kill progress. I need somebody who loves you, who loves me, and will help me and encourage me to do what I need to do. And I can also do the same for them. And if you do that, I guarantee the Lord will send you somebody. Don't know when. I don't know where. I don't know all that. But if you need, but when you have work to do and you need someone there, you're going to compliment each other. It does not mean you're always going to get along. It doesn't mean you're not going to argue, whether it's your personal relationship or in ministry, because even people butt heads in ministry too. But you're all going to work together, and you're all going to compliment each other for the common good. And so this is what we want from the Lord. This is why we're so dependent on the Lord to give us that knowledge and that know-how to where we can recognize those who are around us, those who you've sent to us, to benefit us, to where we can also benefit them also. Not to take advantage of them, but to partner with them, to bond with them, so that you may get the glory that you're seeking and that you well deserve. So, that's the lesson. Thank you for all for being here, for watching. Share this with anybody you come across. We will pray. We will speak the blessing over you. And then, we'll say goodnight. All right, everybody, let us pray. Wise and eternal God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to come together one more time in your name and in your glory, Father God. We thank you for our life, health, and strength. We thank you for protecting us from danger, seen and unseen. And Lord, we ask that you will forgive us for any sins that we committed. Lord, we thank you for this lesson about you looking at our hearts. We know that we get caught up in looking at appearances, but Lord, we know that our appearance can't fool you. You know us. You created us. You know how we feel. You know how we think. You know exactly what we need and when we need it. And Father, we just thank you for that you're a God that pays that much attention to the details of our lives. More, as much detail as you've given us to where you know the hairs on our head, that you know what we were called to do. You knew about us before our parents' parents' parents knew about us. And Father, we just thank you that you love us that much. And Lord, we just ask that anyone who's out there who's looking for someone to fill a void, whether in a relationship or a ministry or a job or whatever, that Father, you would send someone that has a heart after you. that you will send someone who will compliment them, someone who will encourage them, who will be a blessing to the relationship, blessing to the business, a blessing to the ministry, someone who's not looking to take advantage of an opportunity, but looking to help wherever they can, who's looking to increase what's already going on. And Father, we also ask that those who are looking for these individuals do not take advantage of those individuals also, because we know that it's easy to find someone who's there for us and we can take advantage of them instead of realizing that we're also there to help them grow and mold and sharpen them also and encourage them as well. But Father, we just thank you for being the God that answers prayer. We thank you that you are already doing things before we even ask. You've already had it out. You know who we're supposed to be with. You know who we're supposed to link up with. It's just all about timing. And in your timing, you'll get your will done. We'll be able to do great things. We'll be able to reach many people. We'll be able to use our relationships, our work, our ministries to let your light shine so that men may see our good works and glorify you, not us, but you, our Father who's in heaven. Father, we just ask this. We thank you for this. We thank you for those, for you watching over those families who are sick or in bereavement, Lord. We ask that you would be the comforter and the healer that you are. Lord, we just ask that you would meet any need that's going on right now, Father God, no matter how big or how small, that you would use those around those individuals who have hearts towards you, who don't mind serving you, who don't think twice about doing what you asked them to do, to go and meet those needs, Father, to let them know that, Father, you heard them. You always hear us. You knew that we needed it. You were just waiting on somebody just to carry it out. And Father, we just ask that you would send those individuals, or send us if we're around. Let us carry out your will, Father God, by helping those who are in need. And Lord, we just pray that if you delay your return, that we would get to see each other again. Lord, we ask that you would bless us indeed, enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us to keep us from evil, so we don't cause pain. Lord, you bless us, you keep us. Your face shines upon us, you're gracious unto us. You lift your countenance upon us, and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, to let your enemies be scattered, and let those that hate you flee before you. Amen? Amen. All right, everybody, have a great week. Share this with anyone you come across, and let them know it's not about the appearance, but it's all about the heart. Amen? Y'all take care.